This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening to Bunny McDougal, Juno Dawson, and her beautiful duck decoy, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno.
You love a bit of plaid as well, don't you, Dylan?
I do, actually. I don't think I own any plaid. Oh, do you know what? For your wedding, I wore Vivienne Westwood faint plaid, not aggressive plaid, but faint plaided trousers.
Along with a dust ruffle,
yeah. Which, although... Vivienne Westwood is in trouble because I loved the trousers, but 5 minutes into your wedding, I went to the toilet and just all of the buttons popped off and I had to like hold them together with the... I didn't have like a fly for the entirety of your wedding, and those trousers were brand new, so I am not happy with Auntie Viv.
Oh, I do. I love me some Vivienne Westwood. In fact, I wore Vivienne Westwood to the first of my two wedding dates. So I wore Westwood to the registry office bit, which you can all see on my Instagram.
I had a feeling that was her. I'm not well versed generally in the world of fashion, but if something's Vivienne Westwood, I can usually look at it and be like, "That's Vivienne Westwood."
Is it drapey and asymmetrical? It's Vivienne Westwood. Yeah. But you should take those trousers back. Genuinely, I mean, yeah. we've just called out a brand on our podcast.
Ooh.
Is it a first? Both Dylan and I would love Vivienne Westwood goods if you're listening. But no, that's not cute. Buttons shouldn't be popping off your trousers unless you're literally ripping them off. To indulge in the physical act of love.
Yeah.
That would have been okay. but how on earth did we get onto Vivienne Westwood? Oh, plaid. Plaid. That's right. So we have dust ruffles, duck decoys. Dylan, do you want to give us a point synopsis?
Absolutely. So the theme... So it's called Ghost Town, isn't it, this episode? Mm-hmm. And the theme is, as you've said before, first on the whiteboard in the writing room was probably... haunting. They're all being haunted by something. So Carrie is being haunted by Aiden, the idea of Aiden and the prospect of him returning. Samantha is being haunted by just having to be in a relationship generally.
And Shag's past. And every time she leaves the house, she sees a Shag.
Yeah, the ghosts of Shag's past. Miranda is being haunted by... We never actually find out if it's an actual ghost.
I choose to believe it's a real ghost.
But I found it surprising that, like, Miranda, of all people, is the one who, like, believes in ghosts because she's so cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charlotte is being haunted by mallards.
Yes.
Bunny McDougal. Bunny's back.
Bunny's back. I adore her. I adore her so much. She's so good. Let's start with... I mean, let's be quite clear. This whole episode is a vehicle to bring back Aiden Shaw, as portrayed by John Corbett, who... Now, I don't want to cast aspersions, but I know a hair transplant when I see one.
Oh, yes. It looked good, though.
Oh, he looks amazing. And it's interesting, from, you know, the secret Bible to this whole podcast, the official Sex and the City book.
Yeah.
I know from the official Sex and the City book that this is something that happens to female actors all the time, but I imagine is less likely to happen to male actors. They asked him to lose some weight. They actually said, he says it, John Corbett says it. John Corbett says it, that the producers came to him very shortly after, you know, probably in the hiatus between season 3 and 4, and were like, we would really love to bring Aidan back. And I suspect he always knew he was going to come back, or at least suspected, given that he, you know, he wasn't killed off.
Yeah.
And they were like, we really want to bring back like the idea of this like elevated Aidan, and that like Carrie is going to like really realize she was onto a good thing, and that basically they were going to give him a makeover, which they have done. The costume is very different this season as well. Gone is the billowy blouses and turquoise jewelry, and the mullet has gone.
Yeah.
Now it's difficult, isn't it? I don't know if he looks any better or worse, but I do know that he looks different.
He looks more typically attractive, more classically attractive.
Yeah.
Before he was kind of more, he was slightly alternative, wasn't he?
Mm.
Which I thought was a bit cooler. I think he looked cooler before, and I think he looks hotter
100%,
now.
100%, and actually, for the rest of this season, yeah, I think his costume is definitely toned down.
Yeah, he wears like white shirts and blue jeans, basically, I think, for the rest of it. I don't think we see any more blouses. I'm not sure.
There are no more blouses, no more turquoise rings. It's all gone. I mean, but it's only maybe on this pass that I've actually really explored the hairline. And I'm like...
Ooh, interesting. I wonder if they told him to do that as well.
Surely not. I wonder if it was just like a general no about, look, we want to give Aidan a glow up. And maybe he took himself off. Maybe it's a toupee. Maybe it's a hairpiece. And what is it they call... Hang on. My friend is a hairdresser, and they now call... The word toupee has been erased from the vocabulary. They are now called hair systems.
Do you think it's because of Donald Trump that the word toupee has been erased?
Possibly. Yeah, I think... although I believe his hair might actually be his hair. It's just a crazy comb over, isn't
looks
it?
Like it. The hair system sounds like it should have like its own sort of engine and keyboard and everything. And like a fan.
It sounds quite 80s, doesn't it? Like, please welcome to the stage, hair system.
Hair system. So yeah, so the reason Aidan comes back is because Aidan and Steve are opening a bar together, which I thought was like actually a really good narrative thing. Like, it doesn't feel shoehorned. It feels like a thing that these two characters might do, and it made sense to me, and I thought it was a very clever way of like causing a bit of drama, bringing both the exes back at the same time, and Miranda and Carrie are like, oh my god, what the fuck.
Like, I love how Carrie is aghast that Steve and Aidan are friends.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
it's like, you made these two men hang out together, you wanted them to be friends presumably.
Yeah.
And now they're friends. What are you bitching about?
Your best friends, and like she's surprised that their two boyfriends at the time are I found that strange as well.
And I love, I mean, this is maybe jumping ahead of ourselves, but I really like the idea as well that I think there is once a throwaway line in season 2 where Miranda comments, oh, it's not even like it's his own bar. You know, he's a bartender. And that little seed must have lodged its way into Michael Patrick King's subconscious as, you know, whether we bring back David Eisenberg or not. I love the idea that this character goes on to open his bar inspired by Miranda's ambition for him. Mm. And that feels really organic, that, you know, that Miranda too gave Steve this idea and was like, you know what you should do? Instead of working for someone else, you should open your own bar, kind of. And it's lovely to see Scout come into fruition. It's quite a classy looking establishment as well.
I liked it.
Very well lit.
I liked it. Yeah, I was like, I want to go to Scout and have like a free drink and a canapé. Although I would have liked it even more if it had been called Hobbs Knob.
Well, of course, Miranda's place, the Ginger Bar.
The Ginger Bar.
I mean, that would have been amazing. I love, once again, and this will come as no surprise to regular listeners, Carrie somehow manages to make Steve's professional venture about her.
Yes, of course.
You wouldn't think it possible, and yet.
So she, and it's interesting because I clocked this quite early on. And I couldn't remember how the storyline panned out. So I realised what Carrie's plight was going to be quite early, which is when she was talking about going, and I was like, hang on a minute, Aiden hasn't invited you. Like, Miranda put Steve's invitation down on the table. And do you know what? I would not have gone if I was Carrie.
Oh no, she did get an invite. Because that was when she slams it down on the table at brunch, because she agrees to go invites her. And then when she gets her invite, she's like, fuck me, it's Aiden.
Oh, I see. Okay. But but then she later finds out that it wasn't Aiden that invited her.
It was Steve,
yeah. Yeah. And I would feel uncomfortable going to something knowing that, do you know what I mean? I don't think I would have gone, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really tricky. And I've been thinking about this because it does tie into Carrie's question that we will endeavour to answer, which is, are we haunted by relationships past? And if one of my exes, especially a significant ex, like Aiden was a significant ex, and let's not forget, it ended really badly. Carrie cheated on Aiden and he left her high and dry at Charlotte's wedding. I don't know if I would go either as well. I think, you know, with some of my exes, like if Eric is listening to this, you know, we're really good friends. Of course, if Eric, my friend in London, if he was to open a bar, I would be there with bells on. But if it was one of the more significant exes that I had been really hurt by, or in Carrie's case, had hurt, that's weird. Like, essentially showing up at their job.
And also a bit weird of Steve to invite her, really. Kind of. Like, without... I wonder if he talked... I mean, I think we're to assume that he kind of consulted Aiden, or, like, told Aiden, at least.
You'd think. I mean, Steve goes on to explain that the reason he invites Carrie is because he really wanted Miranda to come.
Yeah.
And he didn't feel Miranda would come by herself, given that he's with very tall Jessica. Jessica.
Like, I love how you say that. Like, allegedly, that's her name.
Jessica. Jessica. I
thought that little line was great. To me, that line, like, is really how friends interact with each other. Like, that felt so natural.
It's a throwback to Nijinsky or whatever her name is.
Yeah, very, very that. Yeah. Jessica's very 90s. Like, The two small blue crop top and the Natalie Imbruglia hair.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the hair. It's like sort of fifth member of an American girl group, isn't it? Kind of like, well, one of you has to have short hair. Which is it going to be? Kind of. Awful. So it's the moment where Carrie sees Big across the bar. I find quite iconic. I wish it had been slow motion, putting my little director hat on.
Oh, sees Aiden. Sees Aiden across the bar.
Oh, who did I say? Did I say Big?
Big, yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure our listeners can
forgive me, listeners. Keeping up with Carrie's love life, it's difficult. She doesn't see Big.
It's even more confusing now, seeing all the and just like that stuff on Instagram.
Well, we'll get to that. We will get to that imminently. I love the scene where she sees Aiden and she turns around, and then there's that sexy moment where their eyes meet, and then it's gone. She's like, is that it? And so, like, even she recognises that she's built this up to be a cinematic moment in her head, and then the big reunion doesn't quite come to be. And that rings true, because I've done that at various points. When you know you're going to be seeing an ex, so you've paid that extra 30 quid for a facial, and you've worn the ridiculous outfit and not eaten for a week, which I know is terrible. And then you see them and they're just like, hi, all right, yeah, I'll catch you. And you're like... What?
And it's good of Sex in the City. It's good of Sex in the City to do that, because Sex in the City loves cinematic moments. That you're right. Like, it's never as much as you and I have both tried to make our lives like Sex in the City in many ways at various points, and have often succeeded. Often real life is just real life and is a bit underwhelming.
Which it is. Although the scene I like less is the scene where Aiden squashes cake into Carrie's face.
That was
like, that's not sexy.
That was strange. Yeah. To me, it felt a bit too fast. Like, immediately, like, they're just completely, really explicitly flirting with each other again.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because they obviously want that sort of, like, frisson of sexual chemistry, but it's not quite there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's in the performance or the script. And having watched this episode a gazillion times, I couldn't tell you which of those two it is. But the whole, oh, no, you want the cake. I never didn't want the cake.
Oh, I mean, yeah, come
Let
on.
Me hold the cake. Like, do you want this cake in you? All the way in me. Like, what the fuck? This is gross. Stop.
Yeah. And also, like, no one ever... Well, I'm sure occasionally, but very rarely do people actually talk like that. Like, it's... Yeah.
A bit TV. It felt a bit confected, shall we say.
Confected with confectionery.
Mm.
There you go.
And Aiden smoking a cigar after he gave Carrie so much grief about smoking cigarettes.
Oh, I know. I forgot about that. And as soon as I saw him smoking, I was like, ooh, that's really annoyed me.
Wow, he's changed.
What else was I going to... Oh, I was going to say actually about Steve. You know how we often say a couple of times Carrie has had the whole like trying to be friends with an ex, like trying to be friends with Big again and always gets it wrong. With Steve and Miranda, that's the way to do it. If you want to make like a nice friendly gesture to an ex, I think the best way is not to be like, let's go out for a really intense dinner. It's like, oh, why don't you come along to this thing? There's going to be other people there. We can say hi, whatever. It'll be chill. And it's even more of a good thing if it's like an achievement that you've got that you can just casually invite an ex to. I thought, yeah. I think that was perfect on Steve's part.
It is, and the chemistry. Now, speaking of good juju, you've got Steve and Miranda, who by this point, their interactions are so lovely.
Yeah.
And I think Eisenberg is such a part of Miranda's story, and thank goodness those two actors vibe off each other as well as they do. Yeah. But it is never, ever not believable. Whichever stage Steve and Miranda are at, whether it's her being vile to him in that first episode where she treats him like shit, or whether it's down the line when he cheats on her in the film and they break down, it always rings true. Yeah. And
also when she's like looking after his mum who's got like dementia, that was like a really kind of... I think that's maybe about as real as Sex and the City gets.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really hit, it was quite real, those couple of episodes.
That is one of about three moments I will always cry at in Sex and the City, which is when Miranda is bathing Steve's mum.
Yeah.
Magda.
Yeah.
Magda finds her and says, "This is real love." And you're like... so sad. Let's take a little break before we take a trip to the X-Files with Cynthia Nixon. We'll be back in a second.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we are talking about Season 4, Episode 5, Ghost Town. Carrie's interactions with Aiden lead her to ask the question. I'm going to get it exactly right. I want to get the wording entirely right. when a relationship dies, do we ever give up the ghost, or are we forever haunted by the spirits of relationships past? And this is something which is less affecting Charlotte than it is affecting Miranda and Samantha. So let's first of all turn our attention to Samantha, whose four-episode arc with Maria is hitting the skids.
Yeah. I mean, you just spoke about great chemistry between Steve and Miranda. I think Samantha and Maria have great chemistry, actually. Mm-hmm. I realised this episode when they're in the bar.
That scene is so amazing. It's so good.
It's so great. And she, what is her name? I'm blanking. The actor.
Sonia Braga.
Sonia Braga is so good. And so, yeah, so just so quickly, like, they start to hit some major ruts when Maria wants to talk loads about feelings and sex and relationships, and Samantha really doesn't.
Work Charlotte might swoop in at this point and say that they're propagating certain stereotypes about lesbian relationships, which is lesbian bed death or U-Haul syndrome, which is where lesbians move in together very, very quickly. And this does appear to have affected Maria and Samantha in that they've moved past sex and into having candlelit baths.
And then smashing crockery. That scene where Maria smashes all the crockery, that's one of those scenes that I swear to God, I think about it like at least once a day. And another little firework. Bing!
It's so good. I mean, I should say, listeners, domestic violence is never cute.
No.
If your partner is throwing plates at you, you desperately, I think, need to look at your relationship. And it's really difficult when you see domestic violence being played for laughs, especially because it's a gay couple. Oh, you know, they're both women. How could it be abuse? Actually, statistics around LGBT couples and domestic violence are actually about on a par with straight couples. Mm. So in some cases, higher, I think, actually. And we don't want to make light of domestic violence, and people shouldn't be throwing plates at each other. But I think there would be an argument here to say Maria is not throwing plates at Samantha.
No.
She's causing a scene. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, Samantha has complained that their relationship lacks fireworks.
My God. It gave me, also this storyline gave me a problematic laugh this episode. You know, where you laugh at something and you think maybe I shouldn't have laughed at that.
Yeah, go on.
Is when it's either Miranda or Carrie says, "Are you in a sapphic slump?" and I did giggle. So sorry to any of our listeners.
I mean, if our lesbian listeners are still listening after the last 3 weeks, you're doing really, really well. And we lost the bi listeners last year, and we lost the trans listeners last year. So, you know, Carrie's burning bridges left, right, and centre. But I was more interested because, I mean, obviously this is notable for many a cis het straight woman. This is probably the first time they've seen or heard of a strap-on.
Yeah.
Like if you are not in the community, there is a possibility you didn't know what a strap-on was at this point. So yeah, I'm sure seeing Maria buys Samantha a strap-on and it's kind of played for laughs again.
Yeah.
But actually what I found more interesting, I think, about Samantha and Maria was sooner or later, I feel Samantha's past was always going to come back to them.
Mm.
And actually what breaks them up in the end, it's kind of Maria slut-shaming Samantha.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because I wrote that down. To be fair, in my notes, I literally wrote, to be fair, Maria is slut-shaming Samantha.
She is, because Samantha makes no noise about A, missing dick. Literally, Maria brings it up.
Yeah.
And two, you know, when Samantha sees these guys out and about and Maria quizzes her as to who they are, she's just like, oh, that's some guy I used to fuck.
Yeah.
That's just some guy I used to fuck.
I like that she says it with different intonations. Also, when they walk into that bar and she keeps bumping into people, I'm not going to lie, that's the feeling I have at Mighty Hoopla every year.
That's just some guy I used to fuck.
I also adore Maria's hair when they're in that high, waist, that high waist length ponytail.
Well, she has a lot of hair. Later when she lets her hair down, it's really, really long.
Yeah.
And I also thought Samantha's outfit was amazing in that bar scene where she's got like very 80s looking outfit, very throwback to mannequin for Kim Cattrall. And so, yes, Maria and Samantha are no more because, as Samantha says, was she not very clear that she didn't want a relationship? And you did. You absolutely did.
Yeah.
And in Carrie and Miranda's credit, they listen and take the breakup the same as they would any breakup. And I did really like Carrie saying, can we not talk about the strap-on now? What did I just say?
I noticed, I'm not sure if it was even deliberate or not, but a nice little detail that I noticed was when Samantha walked into the bar, she said, oh, look at all these attractive people. She doesn't say men. Interesting.
Well, she's trisexual now. I mean, that is one of my slight bugbears, that never, again, does Samantha sleep with a woman. I wonder if, as we move into And Just Like That, if the notion of sexual fluidity will be more present, possibly in Sarah Ramirez's character of Che. We'll have to wait and see.
I wonder if it'd be great, actually, if Miranda had a same-sex relationship.
Now, while we're on Samantha, I think now maybe let's discuss And Just Like That. This is our And Just Like That. So if you want to skip this because of spoileriness, just skip ahead a couple of minutes. Have you been following the set pictures this week, Dylan?
Yes. So
they're definitely at a funeral.
They're at a funeral. And also Harry Goldenblatt's back as well.
They're back. And all the kids. They've announced we can see it's the same Brady as before, amazingly. And the child actor is now an adult actor. And then they've now cast Rose and Lily Goldenblatt as well. Plus some other young characters who we don't know who they are yet as well. But what seems to be true of And Just Like That is that we're definitely looking at a much larger ensemble cast, like a much, much larger ensemble cast.
Yeah, and it made me realise Sex and the City, the original Sex and the City, was quite unique in that it was only the four who were the four, who were the main cast. I guess like the closest fifth is like Big and then Stanford.
Yeah.
But it didn't have any young people in it. It didn't, in the way that like the OC, Gossip Girl, Desperate Housewives does, which are comparable shows, aren't they, I think.
It remains to be seen how much of a significant role these parts will have. But I must admit, when it became very, very clear they were at a funeral, in that we saw Sarah Jessica Parker, Chris North, we have Stanford and Anthony definitely dressed for funeral. It does make me wonder if that's what they've done with Samantha, or are we being baited? Is this? I mean, I've said this before. I'm kind of hoping that Samantha is dead. I would prefer it, if I'm honest.
Me too. I think that's the most kind of, in a funny kind of way, that does her character the most justice.
Yep, it's the kindest way, I think.
Yeah.
To get rid of her, as I said last week, with Joel, you know, we know she was a breast cancer sufferer, so that also feels like the most plausible way to explain Samantha's absence.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We'll find out in December, I guess.
Is that when it's
this December, So not long to wait. Yeah, turning it around in 6 months. Because it's not a big science fiction show, there's not a lot of special effects. Post-production is what takes a bunch of
time.
And
I guess they've done it all before, haven't they? Like the actors will they'll be comfortable in their environment, won't they?
And time is money as well. And especially if America is having a brief moment of relapse before the Delta variant massively kicks in, then yeah, get this show filmed before you're back in lockdown, kind of. quick. So anyway, let's move on from And Just Like That. Some people might not want to be hearing those discussions, but...
Bunny.
Bunny's back. I did love this. It just rings true. I know the demon mother-in-law it's a well-worn path, but...
but it's always entertaining.
Always. And is it... I want to say Frances Steenberg?
Steenbergen.
Bunny Steenenbergen,
Steenbergen, is it?
She's played by Frances Sternhagen. There we go. Frances Sternhagen, who is amazing. And she's a very veteran actress. And she's always genius. And this week, we discover that Trey's frumpy apartment has been entirely decorated by Bunny. And Charlotte wants to assert herself on the soft furnishings.
Which she does.
Which she does. No more. I don't even know what a dust ruffle is. Does she mean like a valance? I believe that's what we would call it in this country.
At one point, I think it is a balance, yeah. Mm. At one point, Bunny says, a five-pleat gusseted dust ruffle. And I was just like, the phrase gusseted dust ruffle is so ridiculous. And she also says, up and at him, John McFadden, it's daylight in the swamp. And I looked at, I was like, this has to be a quote. So I Googled it and it's not a quote. It's just, when I Googled it, I just came across loads of Reddit threads of people being like, so Bunny McDougal said this in Sex and the City. What does it mean? Like, it's not from anywhere.
Oh my gosh, that's so weird. Who wrote that? Which writer wrote that? That's amazing. And it rings true of just like a weird thing that families say. Like, there's weird. And I wonder if actually it was like a family saying for whoever wrote this episode. That feels plausible as well, kind of.
Yeah, possibly.
And of course, one wonders if this whole plot was just an excuse for Carrie to use the word sexism.
Yeah, I did think because that.
Because Bunny's interfering is drawn to a close by her walking in on Trey and Charlotte and having sexual intercourse on their modern bed, which doesn't have a dust ruffle. I do love the scene with the Vicks because it's so weird. The Vicks vapor rub. I'm just like, oh!
Them both like slapping it on his chest.
Not on his tummy. We're trying to loosen the phlegm.
You're being inappropriate.
Very inappropriate right now.
It was great. Like, she's just endlessly entertaining, isn't she? And she and Kristen Davis bounce off each other brilliantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just like when they got those scripts, they must have been like, yes, more scenes with Bunny. Excellent. Yeah.
Charlotte looked so beautiful throughout this episode. I mean, she always does, of course, but particularly in this one.
It was super fun. And again, we bitched last week about the ongoing Trey stuff, but if that means we get more Bunny,
yeah, true.
So be it. Although I love that Bunny actually outlives Trey on Sex and the City. She appears after Kyle MacLachlan has left. So
she was right when she said,
"I'll be here long after you've gone."
Imagine if she was in and just like that as well.
I think she's dead. Yeah. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Did she die? Frances Sternhagen. I think I've got a feeling she did. Oh my gosh, no, she's still alive.
Oh my god, that would be iconic. Can you imagine?
Oh my god, she's 91 years old.
Can you imagine if she came back?
If you're listening to this, creator HBO, if you're listening to this, I am begging you to bring back a 91-year-old Bunny McDougal for a cameo in And Just Like That.
Is she on Instagram? Shall I DM her and ask if she wants to come on the podcast?
I beg of you, yes, please do.
I think I actually just wouldn't be able to speak.
I mean, she was born in 1930.
Wow, that's amazing. Just good for her.
Incredible. Her filmography runs up to 2000. She was acting as recently as 2014.
Wow.
Which is just incredible. So she was well into her 80s. Yeah. Oh my god. What a legend.
What a legend. Legend.
Is there anything to say about Miranda and her ghost?
It's weird that like that we never find out whether there is a ghost or not. I mean, I think Sex and the City doesn't really dabble in the supernatural.
No.
So I think we're to assume that there isn't one. Interesting.
Maybe it gets... Oh, no, because they've moved to Brooklyn now. Oh, damn. So they've sold the flat anyway. So maybe we could have another spin-off. So again, if you're listening, HBR, I'm really happy to write this for you. A spin-off show about the ghost that lives in Miranda's apartment.
My friend James and I were saying that, so for some reason, you know, you and your friends just get obsessed with random quotes and scenes from things.
Mm-hmm.
We're obsessed with the woman who comes out of the toilet in the first film and says, "Whatever happened to that sweet girl?" And we want a spin-off starring her in the events that happened after that toilet scene. And
then we get to feeling she's quite a famous Broadway actor. Yeah,
she is, and she's a lead role in Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights, the new film.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I remember when I went to see the first film with my friends and she was like, "I guess she should have got married." My friend Kerry, who's a big feminist, screamed at the top of her lungs, "Burn her!" And the whole cinema laughed.
So, amazing.
Yeah.
I guess she should have got married. What is she called? She is called Daphne Rubin Vega.
That's right. And I think what else has she done recently? I think she bobbed up on the CW in like Riverdale, possibly.
Mm.
Oh, I know what she was in. She was in the Riverdale spin-off because my friend was a producer on it. That's how I know.
And she was in a weird film that I watched recently called Wild Things. Have you seen it? Is
that the Neve Campbell and Denise Richards one?
Yes.
Oh, is she in that as well? Amazing.
Very strange. Very strange film.
Oh, is she the police woman in it?
She is, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you came of age in the 90s, that was a lot of young men's sexual awakening. Neve Campbell and Denise Richards making out in the swimming pool.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I was quite sort of, I'm not sure, interested.
Do you know
in that
twist? There was, I don't know how true this is, but I was told there was an original ending where, because you know it's twists on twists on twists.
Yeah, yeah.
That it would have transpired that Kevin Bacon and Matt Dillon were a couple.
Oh,
and it didn't test well to have that. You know, it's one quite young thing to have two teenage girls kissing in a pool, but not two men,
not
heaven
too
forbid, because it would have actually turned out that it was a big conspiracy and that they were actually a gay couple of scammers. Yeah,
interesting. Mm. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Well, there we are.
So I suppose we should attempt to answer Kerry's question before we go anyway. So what do you think, Dylan? Do you think our past relationships haunt us?
I think haunt is the wrong word. I think they... Again, this is another one of those questions where it's like, I feel like we've kind of answered this before. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably get this more and more as the show progresses. Yeah, I think that our past relationships are present and should be present because we learn from them. But I think if they haunt you, then maybe you need to kind of do some work mentally on it. I don't know. Get some closure or something.
I think what's interesting, because a couple have haunted me.
Mm.
And it is like Carrie, where my own behaviour wasn't great. And so it's not the relationship that haunts me. It's my own behaviour. And the obvious one was, and I've talked about him obliquely a lot on this podcast, was my first proper boyfriend who I was such a shit to because I didn't have any strategies for appropriately breaking up with someone.
Mm.
So I did end it. We ended it over the phone, which isn't ideal. And then I wrote him a letter sort of explaining myself. But then after that, I kind of ghosted him. And then I did beat myself up for a couple of years afterwards. And we last saw each other in 2008. We went on a trip to where he lived and we met up and I realized, actually, it was a bit like Miranda. I let it go because I realized he was in a different place now. And, you know, that water had gone under the bridge and I didn't need to feel bad anymore. And also he was kind of an asshole. So maybe I was kind of like, maybe I was right to ghost him. Because he's an asshole.
Because he's an asshole.
Because asshole.
Oh my God, ghosting. That fits in with the theme of, with the ghost theme.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Although that's going to be a new episode of And Just Like That.
I was just going to say, if this was an And Just Like That episode, it would be like Lily Rose Goldenblatt ghosting someone on Tinder or something.
Hinge.
Gosh. Oh shit, we've got dating apps and we're going to have dating apps in this one as well.
But are any of them single? Oh my gosh, what if Carrie goes back to being single and has to use Hinge?
Oh my God, we might have Stanford on Grind. Oh no, I can't take it.
I do hope they have new stories to tell, because if they haven't got new stories to tell, why are we bothering?
But I think someone will have had to have split up with someone. Otherwise, it'll just be kind of three married couples, won't it? Not that that can't be exciting, but...
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, for a bit of drama, I feel like they'll have to have a major breakup, won't they?
It's so tricky because sometimes when you see historically saw Sex and the City filming, especially like the movies, you got this sense of, oh my gosh, and then there's going to be this big scene where they're like, there'll be this big scene where they're all wearing 80s. Like there are going to be loads of scenes in the 80s because we saw them wearing 80s stuff.
Yeah.
And then of course it was like a 30 second flashback montage.
Yeah.
And so I think there's very little point in trying to second guess the plots from the things we can see, except of course, there's definitely a funeral. So
yeah. And there's definitely a bird on Carrie's head.
A second bird, yeah. She wears another bird on her head. Or is it a bat? Who can say?
What do you think about the clothes from what we've seen?
Well, Dylan, I'm hoping I've been following an amazing Instagram account called Just Like That Closet, which is run by an American teacher called Victoria. And I've invited her on the podcast.
Oh.
The Instagram has completely blown up. So she's not sure. She's replied to my messages. And she's not sure she's got time to actually come on, but I've sent her some questions.
Oh, great.
Because so far,
it's pretty good so far, I think.
Some good. And initially, I was a bit worried because they were a bit muted. And I was not the only person to comment on the quite neutral colour palette. But since then, it feels age appropriate as well. It feels like the evolution of Carrie's taste, which is she's dressing like a woman in her 50s.
Yeah.
But still clearly a woman who curates and collects. And I'm also... such a lovely Easter egg is seeing the things that she's already worn. And so we know, and again, if I'm sorry if this is a spoiler, but she once again wears the Manolo Blahniks that Big proposed to her with.
Yeah.
The ones from the first film, the blue Manolo Blahniks. So we it's lovely seeing those items come back again.
Yeah.
Fab. Okay then. I will see you all next week to discuss whether or not actions really speak louder than words when we get to season 4, episode 6, Baby Talk is Cheap.
Amazing. Can't wait. I'm enjoying season 4.
Me too. You can follow us at SIGTT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And don't forget to like and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Cool. All right then, everybody, take care, and I will see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.